the bold experiment of having people parking in downtown Bryan for Aggie football. How'd that go?
It went great. We just want to let everybody know that there are a little bit more than 1,000 free city and county lot parking spaces available, which is open parking.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can park in the Roy Kelly garage for $10 for the entire day. Mm-hmm. And you can take a free shuttle to and from campus. So it's now going to be running 3 hours before the game instead of 2 hours, and it'll be running up to an hour and a half after the game.
Okay.
So get to Bryan Park, go enjoy the game, come back. You can shop, eat, enjoy the afternoon in downtown Bryan.
So if they have friends coming in, and where do they, what's the best place to come in? Are there signs to say you should park here?
There
How's
will
all that
be
work?
Signs. It's all the city parking spots right there by the city hall and mm-hmm. BTU, right by the county courthouse. There's plenty of open lots, and then, like I said, the garage as well, but you do have to pay in the garage.
Okay.
And then if you are coming in town, or you have friends coming in town, head to downtown Bryan Friday night. There's a free concert at the Palace at 8 o'clock. Gates open at 7:30. Again, we've got a lot going on in downtown Bryan before the game, both Friday night, Saturday, and since it's an early game,
mm-hmm.
come back and shop in Bryan before heading out.
Yep, be a good thing. And don't forget Texas Reds is coming up, too. Right?
Absolutely.
And you brought a guest with you today.
I sure did. I brought Mr. Hegwood.
Yeah, okay. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. We were just doing a kind of a chit-chat before we started, and I found out he's a Lumberton boy, and one of my kiddos was born over in East Texas in Beaumont, and so I knew. He said the Beaumont area. I said, where, Lumberton? I said, shoot, I know where that is. So anyhow, welcome in. We're glad you could be here today. First, went to Lumberton High School. How long have you been with the city of Bryan?
About 10 years.
Okay.
Almost 10 years.
And you were in the BTU area before you walked across the street,
that's
huh?
That's where I started, and a couple of years ago transferred over to the city.
Okay, so you're the chief financial officer for the city of Bryan. Basically, define that for me. What's that mean?
Well, just looking at all the finances, looking at budgeting, doing debt issuances, making sure the books are in order, making sure the cash is there, and we're in a healthy financial position.
Well, what I'm going to ask you to do, start off for words get bandied about in any kind of business, and for people to understand, these are their tax dollars you're talking about, so it's probably good that they understand. Basically, explain the difference between certificates of obligation, which is the way that Bryan's funded a lot of things, and bond issues, which are also used.
Yeah, so there are certificates of obligations and there are general obligation bonds. And Bryan, in my experience there, is primarily used, exclusively used, I guess, certificates of obligation. The main difference is that general obligation bonds are voted on by the voters. COs or certificates of obligation are voted on by city council, so they both go to some form of a vote or another. Generally, general obligation bonds are going to be related to something that's controversial that the council thinks it goes to the next level. It needs to have a vote of the people. Usually that's a convention center or something mm-hmm. something controversial.
Well, and of course, College Station decided not to go with a bond issue because of legislation that took place in Austin with House Bill 1378 that said if an element of that bond doesn't pass, you can't bring it back up for 3 years. That can mess up a city plan pretty significantly,
yes,
I would think. Now, what part do you play when it comes to city planning? Let's say that council or administration wants to have some sort of a grand picture of where we need to be, let's say, in 2021.
Right.
Well, you have to have a seat at that table.
Right. The budget part is the budget is a big part of that whole process. I mean, we talk to all departments and look at their needs. Each year they put together what we call decision packages, which are things that are above and beyond, and evaluate those. We look at what revenue projections are, because if the money's not there, you can't finance it. So, we look at all those things.
Well, Joe Hegwood joining us this morning is the CFO from the city of Bryan. And, one of the things that's important, I was just talking to the congressman a little while ago, your counterpart on the state level has to put a budget together, and he based it on, our oil prices are going to be around $60 a barrel. Well, we're excited that they closed at 47 yesterday. So if it doesn't work right in Austin, how do those dominoes fall, and how does that affect Bryan and other cities down the road?
Well, Yeah, we are definitely affected by oil and gas prices. And I mean, this last couple of years is a good example. I mean, we saw activity go up quite a bit in 14 and 15, and now it's trailing off. And that, you know, that affects mineral values. That's I think we saw about $800,000 of increased revenues related to property tax on mineral values. But this year that's dropping in half. So definitely affects our projections. I mean, City of Bryan has taken a pretty conservative approach. Even back in when we were doing 15's budgets, we assumed it wasn't going to be a, you know, go on forever, that it would trail off. But we would certainly, from a taxing, you know, from a revenue point of view for the city, you know, the higher values, the better, because that increased tax revenues.
The Fed is thinking about, for the first time in maybe 7 years, raising interest rates. The stock market's obviously going to feel that. What do cities feel if that interest rate goes up?
Well, we would expect a corresponding increase in our cost of borrowing. I'm not a young person, and I remember borrowing on a house at 12%.
Oh, my. Yeah.
This, to me, we are at historical lows, yeah. And you know, if we need to borrow, now is the time to do it. If it bumps, I don't expect any change in the any change that the Fed does in the next, you know, 6 months or year will substantially affect our borrowing abilities.
Sure. The idea of keeping as much money in some sort of an interest-bearing situation is what you want to optimally do. How do you calculate how liquid you should be as an operator the size of the City of Bryan?
Well, you want to be able to pay your bills and, you know, have them that liquid. I mean, we do basically a cash flow projection every quarter to look at, you know, how much we have to have. Right now, some of our highest interest return is on very liquid investments, and so we're very liquid right now. So it kind of depends on what the highest return is on and what you need to have liquid. But right now we're a very liquid.
What kind of financial instruments do you use that allow you to do that?
Well, we are governed by the state and what we can invest in. We can't invest in stocks and real estate and that sort of stuff.
Can't buy gold today from Robert Devane or whoever.
No, yeah, okay. Basically, Treasury, State, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, those sort of things are what the city invests in.
There's been some discussion as Bryan was putting together their $390 million budget this year about days of reserve. Explain to me what that means.
Yeah, that's basically your safety net, how much you have available to spend at the end of the year when everything is done. As a policy, the city has a 60-day minimum. Of course, that's the minimum, so you don't want to be at the minimum, because if anything negative happens, then you're in bad shape. And one thing the council and staff has looked at in the last year is, you know, what is the target.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last couple of years, the city has seen significant inflows related to one-time revenues. So that's kind of bumped our balance up over that time.
Okay, so your minimum 60. Where are we right now?
At the end of 15, we'd expect to be at about 177.
Oh, boy.
So we're way over.
Yeah.
And so this year's budget includes a plan to spend that down on projects that need to be done. You know, we don't want to stay at 177. It needs to be spent on projects that are needed by the citizens of Bryan. But then the question is, what is the right target to be at? Last year, about in February, I think we did a review of some other cities and talked to rating agencies. And we presented to council an average of about 100 days. And so that's right now. That is the target that we're shooting for. That gives us a cushion. It takes into consideration the risks that the city has, and we're looking out over a 5-year period. You know, you can't set your minimum based on just 1 year. You've got to look at it over time.
So if Bryan isn't and hasn't been using bonds for a long time to fund projects, why does it even matter what your bond rating is?
Well, no, we have used certificates of obligation.
Okay, but so it's still, Matt, even if it's not a general obligation bond, you still need to have a good high bond rating
from that standpoint. We have a AA rating, which is a good rating, and it's probably the most cities have and on average a double A rating. But yeah, certificate obligations are what we issue. We've got a CIP proposal on the next council
That's
meeting.
It's a capital improvements.
It's just, I'm sorry.
It's
yes.
Okay.
Capital improvements, which is a 5-year plan, and I believe that's around $32 million, and those will be funded through certificates of obligations at this point.
So now, Brian's kind of an unusual situation in that you own your own utility company. And again, you came from the BTU side before you came across to the city. What does BTU, having that as part of the city, mean as far as pluses and minuses are concerned?
I mean, I think it's good, number one, that you have local control. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my background is in electric utilities, and I've been in worked for several IOUs, and you know, and one thing.
What's an
is
IOU? What's an IOU?
Investor-owned utility.
Okay,
I'm
thank
sorry.
You. Okay, it's all right.
And you know, there's always a conflict between you know a corporate headquarters and what they want and the city that they operate in. And the good thing about Bryan is you know, you have that local control. The other thing is there is a revenue stream, the general fund transfer, which comes from all the enterprise funds, including water and wastewater, that goes to the city, and it's over $10 million right now that goes into the general to helps out the general fund from BTU.
And also, if you got extra energy, you can sell it off to other folks, right?
Well, that's right.
Well, very good. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming in. You kind of gave us an overview of where our tax dollars go, those dollars and cents, because they are important, and we want to know what happens to them. So from time to time, we'll ask you to come back in and kind of educate us as to where we are, okay?
Sounds great, Scott.
Great. Thanks for the time this morning.